I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A good Wednesday morning to each and every one of you, and welcome in Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. The weird times continue. Live from my basement in Danny's laundry room, we bring you four more quality hours of GD today. Albert Breer spins us around the NFL at 11, 57 minutes from now. Why did the Redskins sign another running back, and what are their plans in the backfield? Plus, at 1 o'clock today, our series continues with a local broadcaster each and every day calling play-by-play of themselves as they do a household task. Justin Kutcher, who calls Wizards games, will be with us today as he makes his bed. You will want to hear that at 1 o'clock. Danny, how are you this morning?
Doing all right, my friend. As you were talking about, you're in your basement, I'm in the laundry room, and we've strategized these are the best places in our house strategically to try to give you the cleanest broadcast possible. Some interruptions are inevitable. Fiona, I think, has made her presence known three times, minimally, and I would say it's been good for content. I'm still not used to this. We've been doing this for a little bit now, right? What is it? We're a week plus at 7-8 shows down here. Maybe this is the eighth, or I've lost count. It's still unusual for me. I still have the instincts to start making my way towards the door, right? I pick up my bag like I'm going somewhere. Like I start to pack a lunch just because I'm a creature of habit. I've been doing something for, what is it, like 8 years now, 9 years, however many years of doing middays, and I kind
of
have this rhythm and routine.
You put a bunch of things into your reusable grocery tote.
Yeah, like I've got this thing down that I do, and I still have to stop myself every time and go, no, my commute is going down to the basement where the laundry room is. That's my commute. So I take my cup of coffee, and I kind of saunter down here, and I'm trying to find a new rhythm, a new way to kind of get into the show. So what I do is I'll get the computer out, watch the junkies on the television, cringe when they have a talent show over the phone, and just sort of watch as the morning develops, kind of looking up stories and different items that I'm going to need for the show. I'm still not used to it, though. I wonder how long it's going to take for this to be, quote-unquote, normal. Because nothing's normal about what's going on, obviously. This is a unique situation. I've never experienced anything like this in my 40 years, like everybody else. But how long, I wonder, until this is, oh, here's the routine, I just go to my basement.
So I've settled into that already, to be completely honest with you. I have not thought once when I wake up about driving to work or gone about the motions. I mean, we're a couple weeks into this at this point. So I don't know what they say about a habit. I feel like it's normally 21 days. I don't think we're there by any means. But I feel pretty much locked in my program and planning now for waking up. I don't drink coffee, but I make myself some tea. I go downstairs. I plug in the computer, get everything fired up. As you said, I turn on the junks and watch them on NBC Sports Washington. I've got a pretty good thing going. Where I'm still weirded out might be the wrong phrase, but where I find myself going down the rabbit hole of thought is, how long are we going to be doing this? I mean, I texted somebody with knowledge of the situation, to use a Washington Post phrasing.
Ooh,
on
I
a
love
source,
it.
Right? And this was on Saturday morning, and I said, hey, I'm guessing that I should still be planning on being home and continuing to work for another week or so. And that person with knowledge of the situation said, I'm pretty sure the text said something like, you should plan on doing that for months or something along those lines. And I thought, wait, really? I mean, I'm not planning on getting political here, but I will tell you that the president of the United States yesterday said something along the lines of that he'd like things to be back to normal by Easter. I don't think that's going to happen. That is not what the experts or the scientists or the doctors or anybody with knowledge is saying. So I want everything to be back to normal by Easter as well. I'd like to go to a movie theater and eat popcorn and watch a film, or perhaps, I don't know, go to Nats Park and see a baseball game. I'm going to bet on the over if we're setting it at Easter for right now before I start doing any of those things again. But in terms of you and I being in studio, I hope a couple weeks from now we're back in our tiny little studio that we like to complain about and have probably appreciate more now than ever.
Seriously.
Because not that I don't think necessarily the quality of the show has been hindered. I think kudos to our program director and to our staff and to Tom and Brendan and the people that are still at the studio. I've listened, as you know, I listen to radio.com a lot, and there are shows all over the country that are doing things very differently, and everyone's just trying to get by. I was on a show in Cleveland today where one of the hosts was essentially on like an app via his phone, and you could tell it, you know, and I guess my point is, I don't know, man, I keep thinking like this is very momentary, but it's starting to feel like this could be a long time.
And I think that's it, by the way, is the... And again, I was reading this article. Jeff Passan was talking about kind of Major League Baseball and their union and this stuff we're going to talk about here as the show goes on. But they're trying to figure out, hey, what's the logistics of coming back? How do we pay our employees? You know, there's a for rich teams that have, you know Scrooge McDuck money bins, that's no problem. But for cash-strapped squads that sort of need some of the influx of the year starting, the TV money coming in, fan gate attendance, et cetera, they're going to struggle here. How are we going to kind of figure this out? But they've gone... Well, we've sort of pushed back, and we're looking at a shortened season, but we think we'll start in early June. Then I read the article, whether it's The Atlantic or The Washington Post or anywhere, right, that I feel is credible with scientists and opinions, and it's 6 months, 7 months, 10 months, 18 months. Vaccines are slow. There's a one track is, we'll come back and play real soon, just as soon as the sun shines. We'll be out there throwing the pigskin around. And then there's, like, the science, the real world that's like, this is months. This is a long time.
Yeah, and
this
I get your larger
tomorrow.
Point.
You know what
I think there's a big difference, though, between how many months until everything is normal again and when things are going to start functioning again. Like, one does not equate to the other there. In other words, things may not be normal again for 12 to 18 months. I mean, from an economic standpoint, it could even be years. I think all of that's fair and reasonable. And we could also be having NBA games without crowds in some capacity sometime in May. Like, I don't think those two things right now are completely working in the same exact direction necessarily. If you can get healthy players quarantined who can participate in some form like Adam Silver suggested or Major League Baseball or any of these other sports, it's all possible. But one thing I do want to get into today, you mentioned baseball, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to handle this. There is certainly a chance that there is not a season. There's also a chance they could start in June or July or August or September. They're trying to basically just throw as many ideas on the table as possible, and we'll go through some of these suggestions and the rumors for baseball as to what a season could look like because it is pretty fascinating. We had an addition to the Grant and Danny Movie Club last night. We watched A Quiet Place. We will break it down today at 12:45 and pick a new movie. I had not seen that movie. I loved it, by the way.
Isn't it really good?
Oh, my gosh, that was awesome. And I'll say this about that movie. It's about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know what? Every movie should be 90 minutes.
It
like,
gets
literally
you in, gets
last
you out,
night.
It builds the intensity. It's
yes.
Really good, man.
As I turned it on, like 15 minutes in, because, you know, you're watching, I was on my computer on Amazon Prime doing some, you know, other stuff in the room. And I looked down and I kind of scrolled just to see, okay, I probably got 2 hours left. And it was like an hour and 14 minutes left. We're like in the stretch run now.
I know.
And I'm thinking, every movie should be this length. There was not any added unnecessary fat. Everything was kind of cut away. I'm on a huge kick right now on John Krasinski, I guess, because he acted in it, starred in it, wrote it, directed it, a bunch of stuff.
It's
but,
brilliant,
man, it was really, really good. Looking forward to breaking that down at 12:45. Who wants to come up with the list today, Thommy or Dar? I feel like one of you can put together a movie list for us today.
What's our theme?
Dar says he will come up with a movie list we will choose from at 12:45. Any theme you want, really. My only request is that we make it easy for people to find.
Yeah.
Because a couple times we've picked movies where you've got to, like, pay to watch them, and I don't know how many people are going to do that.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, if you miss a day, that's okay. I mean, we can't miss a day because we're the torchbearers here, but if you're a fan and maybe you've seen it before, et cetera, but I'm with you. I mean, if Dar's picking, we're in store for a cheesy action movie, right? I mean,
all nine Fast and the Furious movies would be a good day for me.
That's what it smells like to me. It's either a Fast and Furious or it's like a Chachi bro comedy.
He says he'll go Netflix only, so all of you will be able to watch. All right, let's do this to get the show popping next on Grant and Danny. I didn't see this one coming. The Redskins signed Peyton Barber, the running back from Tampa Bay. And you'd say, well, camp body, another guy to compete at the position. I mean, his track record and resume is not that of a guy you'd bring in just to cut him. I mean, he ran 150 times last year, and over the last three seasons has played a fairly significant role. At one point was a full-time starter in Tampa Bay in the last 2 years. Why did they go get Barber? Who's going to make this team at running back and who isn't? How are they going to divvy up carries? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny. Plus, we'll introduce our poll for the first time today right here on The Fan.
Guys, Danny Ruye here. My pals, Ted Britt Ford. They are awesome. I love Ted Britt Ford, and I can prove it. I've got three different Ted Britt vehicles in my lifetime. Right, I went there 2016, okay? The wife and I were shopping around for a car. We found the Edge. We test drove it, loved it, went inside, braced ourselves for that whole, you know, car thing, the sales pitch, and the well, there's this hidden charge, there's this, there's that, and the back and forth with the manager who you never see. You don't know if that person's real or not. It wasn't like that. It was seamless, and it was wonderful. And I said, I'm coming back here when it's time for my car. And that's what I did. I got my Fusion parked outside. Right, yeah, I love Ted Britt Ford. It's the best buying experience in the D.C. area. Here's the deal. I hold grudges. If something negative happens to me that I don't like, I don't go back. If something positive happens, I hold a positive grudge. I'm going back to Ted Britt Ford. You will, too. These guys are awesome at what they do. They've been in business for more than 60 years. You don't luck your way into that. You take care of people. Let them take care of you the way they've taken care of me and my family over the last several years. You got to go see him in Fairfax, Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com and tell them Danny sent you.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you listening to the show. Just posted a poll. We're trying to give you one non-sports poll a day to keep the doctor away. At Grant H. Paulson, 112 people have voted already. Today's poll of the four highest grossing actors in the entertainment business in 2019, which do you like the most? Those actors, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Samuel L. Jackson, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Pratt. So heavily skewed towards basically anyone involved in superhero movies.
Sure, sure.
Samuel L. Jackson is the machine that does not break. And The Rock, of course, is pretty much in every action project at this point. The Rock, Sam Jackson, Hemsworth, and Pratt, those were your four highest grossing actors of 2019.
I'm looking at that list. The Rock is maybe the most likable dude on the planet. You know, like that guy is so awesome, but Chris Hemsworth
really
is so handsome. And like, I don't know what else he's done. I mean, I know he's been in a couple other movies, but he's basically Thor walking around doing Thor type stuff where he like has this like big voice. Chris Pratt's hilarious. Samuel Jackson's in everything. That's a hard one, dude. I'm staring at this list. I don't know who to vote for.
I can hang out with one of them for the day.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably taking Sam Jackson. Of those guys, the one I like the most is probably Chris Pratt. He's found a lane that for me is a lot of fun. He is comedic, but also somehow turned himself into an action figure looking guy who looks like he could win a UFC fight. He straddles a couple different paths at this point in his career. I'm intrigued by where Chris Pratt's going.
And you never watched Parks and Rec, right?
Never got into it. I mean, I know what it is. I've seen episodes for sure.
And so he's pudgy on that show. Like he's like downright like, and he would tell you himself, he's. That's part of the character. It's kind of this dumpy zilch, and he is hilarious on that. So even after he's in an action movie where he gets, you know, all shredded to heck, and he did some funny behind the scenes of that where he's like waiting for hours to eat this tiny portion of food that like the Marvel studio gave him. Like, this is what you have to eat, but you can't eat it until 4. And he's like so tempted to do it. And then he goes back and still does another season of Parks and Rec after he's an action star because he loved doing it so much. He's a really likable dude, and he's hilarious.
Yeah, that's crazy, though, what some of these actors and actresses do. I've read some of the stories where it's like, I had a cracker every day for a month.
And that's it.
It's like, and they consult with medical professionals who I guess in some way tell them somehow this is okay. But some of the things that they do is nuts. I was surprised to see that the Redskins added a veteran running back yesterday. Peyton Barber, who went to Auburn, who's been in the NFL for 4 years, all of them with Tampa Bay. He's actually only missed one game in his entire career. He's played 16 games the last three seasons, missed one game as a rookie in 2016. He started every game in 2018, and that year, a bad rushing offense. He wasn't particularly good. I think he averaged like 3.5 a pop, went for 870 yards on a bunch of carries. Doesn't catch the ball as much as you might think for his size, sub 6 foot. He is thick and physical, and he can run through tackles a little over 220 pounds. Has never caught more than 20 passes in a season. Has never rushed for more than 871 yards. He's basically a depth back. There's no disputing that he's not coming in here to start. But where I'm, I guess, confused a little bit or surprised by this, Danny, is you've got Adrian Peterson, who you would think would be your bell cow, on the books at $3.25 million. Now, I guess you could release him, and you wouldn't have to take that entire cut of money on your cap and in dead money. You get out of that deal if you wanted to in training camp or something, if he hit a wall that we're not expecting, but he is 35. You've got Darius Geis, who when he's been on the field has been great. He just never stays healthy. Speaking of not staying healthy, you've drafted Bryce Love, who's redshirted his first year, didn't play a single down. We never saw him. Expected to play this season, but I was talking with a Redskins official recently who said they're not sure when he's going to be available. Probably won't have any kind of a normal offseason or be able to do everything during camp. So maybe they're just not sure about him. But then they also just brought in J.D. McKissic, who is their third down back, who is right. Their Chris Thompson, who is their pass catcher. So that's four guys I just named. Peterson, Geis, McKissic, Bryce Love, and now Peyton Barber. All five can't make the team, let alone get touches. What did you make of this?
Very puzzled, to be honest with you. Very, very puzzling. I don't get the upside here. Unless you're just going, we need an insurance policy. And I can't imagine Peyton Barber would be excited about this. But we need an insurance policy in case, you know, break glass, right? In case Bryce Love can't go, Darius Geis has two carries, and he gets himself hurt again for the millionth time. We just need someone to absorb some of the punishment here while Dwayne Haskins is you know, developing. Peyton Barber, I think, I have to check this, but last year he had 154 rushes, which is the number of times he's been added and dropped on fantasy rosters because he's useless. He's not good, and he hasn't been good ever. And I know the excuses about the rushing offenses haven't been good, but somehow over multiple regimes, he has been consistently ineffective and doesn't catch the ball very well. This is the kind of running back I have never had any interest in. Well, I don't say never, but in the modern era where it's about, you know, pass pro and running routes and being a matchup nightmare, this is a undersized yet plodding kind of unexplosive, you know, no home run threat, very little upside running back. I don't get it. But if you just want veteran bodies and you feel like he's cuttable, that's strange to me. But you mentioned it. You went through it. I mean, the running back depth chart, you've got a guy that's defied every possible age curve in Adrian Peterson, who is good. Darius Geis with the upside. Bryce Love is the unknown. You got your third down back now in terms of McKissic, who I think should be more of a first and second down back because the way the league's going, but I digress. I don't know where Peyton Barber fits in, man. I was head-scratcher to me. It's not like it costs a lot, but I kind of don't get the plan there.
So here's what I came up with in just trying to figure all this out last night is mm-hmm. I think Peyton Barber only makes the team if Love and or Geis is unavailable. And so the point being, let's just say for a moment, they don't know when Love's going to be back. Let's remember, he had a setback in his recovery. Let's just say he starts the year on PUP or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you keep a fourth running back. That's Peyton Barber. You don't necessarily have to do that. But I think the way that he would actually be activated on game day and matter is if both Love and Geis aren't available. And maybe their point is, what's to say that Darius Geis is going to get through the offseason and training camp? You know, he's going
to
take carries in the preseason.
Anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's my point.
Right.
So if Love is going to be on the PUP list potentially or just not available, and we don't know. We haven't talked to him. We don't know what he's doing right now. But last we heard, they're not sure that he's going to be ready. You just separate him and you say, okay, you have three running backs who will be at camp. You have three guys who are competing for touches. One of them gets hurt almost every game he plays in Darius Geis. So now you kind of set him to the side as well, and you go, okay, well, we can't really trust him. If he's healthy on a Sunday going into a game, he's going to be heavily involved in the offense. But otherwise, we need a plan B. And maybe they just said, whether they think Peyton Barber's a fit or they like something about him, he's got quick feet, I don't know. They bring him in as the third guy to go with Peterson and McKissic in an event that those other two younger guys who have not been healthy can't play. But you're right about Barber. I mean, he has not averaged 4 yards per carry in 3 years. I mean, he has averaged 3.9, 3.7, and 3.1. And, in fact, every single season he's been in the league, his yards per carry has gone down. So he's not trending in the right direction at 26 years old. But I don't think anybody has delusions that they brought him in to be a major factor.
No, sure.
In trying to figure out why they did this, I think, one, it might tell you something about what they think of Bryce Love's recovery or what they know about it right now. And, two, it does show you that they have to watch, like we do, any of these games that Darius Geis has played in and, A, be impressed, and, B, say, well, he couldn't finish the game. So I just think they feel like they need three running backs, and if those two guys can't be counted on, this would be the third one.
I mean, that's what it is a $3 million insurance policy, right? I mean, McKissick doesn't cost a ton, and I think that's, he's your Chris Thompson role. And I wish they'd gone and gotten a second one of those, by the way. I'd much rather have a second version of that than a third, you know, or first down back, like it's sort of a, you know, like it's 1996, you know what I mean? But I kind of, your logic about what they're thinking makes sense. It's an insurance policy, you know, basically to back up Adrian Peterson if Geis does a Geis and if Bryce Love isn't ready to rock and roll.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, what do you think about adding Peyton Barber? Any chance that he catches lightning in a bottle and ends up being a fixture here in Washington? And how do you want to see the running back depth chart assembled? How do you want to see the carries divvied up? We can get into that timeshare next at 800-636-1067. But a very emotional video posted online last night from Carl Anthony Towns. You'll hear what the NBA star had to say about how COVID-19 is affecting his family as we continue on G&D. I don't know, Danny, if you saw the simulation or anything that came out of it last night on NBC Sports Washington of the Caps and the Blues, a game that was supposed to have been played. But what NBCSW and some other regional networks around the country are doing now is they are going to be simulating, by way of video games, the games that were supposed to have been played in real life, and they're broadcasting them. They're condensing them down for the betterment of everybody watching so that you cut out all of the fluff to basically 1 hour. And the really cool thing was Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan were actually calling the game, which I thought was crazy when I originally heard that. I was thinking, there's no way Joby and Locker want to do that. There's just no way. But they seem to have a lot of fun with it, or put on a good face anyway. And it was a really well-done, well-presented, good product. And I tip my cap to NBC Sports Washington because I got hooked on it. Ended up watching their little post-game show, breaking it down after. That's Nicholas funny. Backstrom had a hat trick. He did an interview with one of the reporters at Monumental Sports where he talked about how much easier it was to score a hat trick without having to hear Ovi yell for the puck all the time, which was a hilarious zing. But we're getting pizza from Papa John's for the discount deal now. I mean, they're basically just acting like a real game was played yesterday and the Caps beat the Blues.
I know. It's no substitute for the real thing, obviously. And this is, the real players are not in danger of being replaced by pixels. But at the same time, your people are getting creative, man. I mean, I sat there, last night trying to brainstorm about just like something to do. Right. Just because, we're watching Netflix and playing what games we can and keeping the kids inside, et cetera. But that's all we're doing is we're all trying to like pass the time where the distraction that's normally sports. And I don't know what people that don't watch sports are doing. I mean, their same dumb Bravo shows, I guess, are available. But for me, I'm trying to fill the void in some way. So I'm like just brainstorming about just coming up with stupid stuff to do on my dumb Twitter feed or Instagram or whatever kind of, on a nightly basis or a weekly basis or something like that. I mean, just. So tip of the cap to folks for coming up with it. And, I mean, really, to me, having Joe B and Locker do it validates it. You know what I mean? Like, because otherwise, it's just you're just running somebody playing video games. And that's out there. That's been done. But once you have the broadcast component to it, it's
correct.
Sort of like, all right, we'll treat this like a thing. And you make it that way. So good
and
for
NBC actually,
Sports. Yeah.
I mean, they called it in a way that it just worked really well.
Right.
And it added so much to the fun of the whole thing. A couple of times, I just laughed out loud because Locker was talking about how, this is the perfect start to the game for the Capitals, and we're just all acting like this is a real thing.
Like,
and
it's real, yeah. We're just doing
completely
it.
Completely okay. Bought in, They're talking about the energy in the building and how loud it was and how difficult that could be on the players. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put my swim trunks on and jump into it and immerse myself in whatever this is, and we'll all have a little hour-long reprieve. And it worked really well. So a job well done to NBC Sports Washington on the production. As you said, you can come up with that idea, but then to push it forward and to make it work, you need some buy-in, and I think that they got that. I want to get into, later in this segment, in just a few minutes, the audio. It's pretty heartbreaking, from Carl Anthony Towns that came out late last night as he updated people on what's going on with his family regarding COVID-19. But before we do that, to put a bow on our running back conversation with the Redskins. So it sounds like you're with me if you're ranking the five Redskins running backs. You're putting Peyton Barber, who just signed a two-year contract worth up to $3 million, fifth, presumably.
Yes.
Here's kind of how I think this works out. My guess is if he has a really good camp and they really like him or a strong preseason, that he's the fourth running back and they keep him and Bryce Love's not on the roster to start the year. I think Peterson is set in stone and ready to go. He's had two very strong seasons. There's no reason to believe he's about to completely fall off. The way I want to divvy this up, and you know where I'm going with this, I've been saying it for over a year, ask a question every single week when you're putting your game plan together. Is Darius Geis healthy this week? If the answer is yes, then I want him on the field the most. He can catch the football. He can be an all-down type back. He is the best running back that they have, as I hope people have now seen when he gets opportunities, that he at this point of his career with his explosiveness and speed can give you something that Adrian Peterson, who's kind of picking his spots and stopping on a dime and being very patient and using his excellent instincts to gain yards. He just doesn't have some of the clubs in the bag at 35, soon to be 36 years old, that Darius Geis has. So if Geis is healthy, he needs to be your guy, and McKissick can be your Thompson, and it means a lot less of Adrian Peterson. That's how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. When Bryce Love is available, I'll reassess because I also want to see that guy too, and that might be even less of Peterson. But regarding Barber, the addition from yesterday, I have no interest in really giving him any touches over AP, over Darius Geis, over Bryce Love, or even over McKissick when those guys are all available.
If Peyton Barber's getting carries, something terrible has happened. That's how I feel about him. You know, like either the coaching staff doesn't understand what is going on this year in terms of a rebuild or otherwise, or who needs to be out there, or there's been a bunch of injuries or something. If Peyton Barber is getting touches for the Washington Redskins, everything's off the rails. This is a Josh Johnson, you know, Mark Sanchez type situation. No, thank you. I have no interest in watching that plotting zilch take carries away from guys that are either the future of this team or have proven to be effective over the last couple years. So if he's in the game, GP, I kind of reiterate this, it means something really, really bad has happened. So I'm not really that excited about Peyton Barber getting any touches. Again, it's kind of why I'm scratching my head as to the point of this thing. This is in case of emergency, and if he plays, it means emergency.
Yeah. I kind of made the similar point today. I was on Cleveland radio, and they asked me about Case Keenum because they signed him to be Baker Mayfield's backup. You know, how good is he? Is he a guy who could actually start games for them? And I said, well, if he's on the field, it's a real big problem for you because it means something terrible has happened to Baker Mayfield. This guy should not push him or take playing time away from him if he's healthy by any means. But if he's got to be pushed into duty for a game, you'll be perfectly fine.
Absolutely.
He had some big games last year. He's probably one of the eight or nine best backups in the league. He can go throw for 250 to 280 with a couple of touchdowns with his eyes closed in a short stint. I wouldn't want him for 16 games if I'm trying to compete, but for a game here or there, he can get you by. Albert Breer, by the way, is going to be on the show at 11 o'clock coming up in 20 minutes on Grant and Danny. This video from Carl Anthony Towns last night made the rounds all over the internet. I think people saw it and their heart went out to him. This is a very public figure who has a message. I think a lot of people think, I get COVID-19, I cough for a couple of days, a week and a half later I'm just fine. That is not the case for everybody, as he made it known last night. Listen to this. It's gut-wrenching.
You know, just talking through everything with her. I talked to her before she went there, told her I loved her. Every day I always told her how much I love her. She was telling me things that I didn't want to hear, so I dismissed some things she was saying because it wasn't something I want to hear. It came to a point where, you know, it's difficult. It's been very difficult for me and my family, to say the least. She's the head of our household. She's the boss. She's been in a medically induced coma. Since that day, I haven't talked to her haven't been able to obviously communicate with her. I've just been getting updates on her condition. It's rough, and you know, day by day, we're just seeing how it goes. And we're being positive. I'm being very positive. So I'm just keeping the strength up for everybody in my family to only make this video so that people understand that the severity of this disease is real. This disease needs to not be taken lightly. Please protect your families, your loved ones, your friends, yourself. Practice social distancing. Please don't be in places with a lot of people. Just hide your chances of getting this disease, and this disease is not, it's deadly. And we're going to keep fighting on my side, me and my family. We're going to keep fighting this. We're going to beat it. We're going to win. I hope my story helps. I hope my story gives you the correct information. You know, send my love to all your families. Praying for every single one of you guys. Keep everyone in my thoughts and my prayers. And life may keep throwing punches at me, but I'm going to keep getting back up. And I ain't going to quit at any time. And neither will my whole family will, and neither will my mother. So Dominican women are strong. I know they are. My mother are the strongest woman I know. And I know she'll beat this.
Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves, averaging 27 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists. This year, one of the better players in the NBA. On the video there, that was the audio from him. He posted to his Instagram last night. He said his family wanted him to do this to raise awareness, because I think there were people, maybe even in his family, when originally his parents started feeling these symptoms, they didn't even go to the hospital. It sounded like he and his sister had to talk his parents into it. They kind of thought this would just come and pass, because for so many people, the symptoms aren't that strong. Health is just one of those really scary things, Danny, where you're perfectly fine until you're not. And there's no putting that toothpaste back in the tube. Like, you can't just touch a button and get better.
Right.
You hope that the experts and the medicine and, you know, the smart people that are taking care of you can work their magic. But you have no control over which way this thing goes when you get it. And I just think it's important for celebrities like him to put messages like that out there at this point. Because I know I've been guilty of that from time to time and talking to my friends. You know, I'm doing my social distancing and everything that we're supposed to be doing. But I have said out loud multiple times to people I've been talking to, well, you know, if you get it because they're worried or whatever, I'm talking off the ledge, you're probably just going to have a cough. You'll have a cold. You'll be fine a few days after that. Maybe. You know, maybe not.
Sure.
And that's
right.
I think that's what's so scary.
Well, just I'll say this quickly. I mean, the people yelling at each other to stay home are already staying home. There is a huge portion of the population, and it's wide-ranging in terms of who it is. It's folks that think this is a hoax, it's young people who think they're invincible, whatever it is, the more relatable people to different demographics that are saying these things that are correct, the better. So good for Karl Anthony Towns, a young guy in his 20s that's excellent at basketball.
A 24-year-old.
Yeah, he's reaching people that I can't reach. He's reaching people that CDC guy or that Fauci, that whomever else can't reach. I want that. I want more of that. I want more. Like young people at Barstool Sports telling all the frat bros that are down in Florida, stop doing this. I want people that are, you know, that are across the country that think this is a big hoax just to try to take somebody down. They need to be reached too. So good for Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, and the people that are saying ridiculously stupid things need to not be acknowledged on a national stage.
Yes.
You know? Like they, again, I'll go back to my old saying, they don't get a seat at the table. Grant and Danny on the Fan, some good news for the Nats in the way of sad news for the Mets on the health front. We'll tell you what that is next right here on The Fan. It feels weird to update you on injuries that are going to affect teams in 2020 when we don't even know when sports are going to return and how many games are going to be played. But this is a big enough item to hit on here. Noah Syndergaard of the Mets is going to have Tommy John surgery to repair his torn UCL. Mm. I actually, the last time you and I did shows from spring training, we ranked the NL East, and yeah. I picked the Mets to win the division. Now, Syndergaard is not Jacob deGrom, the back-to-back Cy Young Award winner who leads that rotation. But he is a super high-end power right-hander who throws 100 miles an hour and strikes out a ton of batters. And without him, I don't think they could or will win the division. This is a big blow to them. He's going to have the procedure. He will then be on your normal 12-month or so recovery, and by next year we'll be hoping to be on those pitch and innings restrictions but get through an entire season with the governor on. threw a career-high 197 innings last season. His ERA was a career-worst 4.28. The combination of good health and stuff is generally what people felt like for Syndergaard was going to lead to him becoming one of the best pitchers in baseball, and it just hasn't happened yet. So he's going to miss the entire season. That's one of the real threats to the Washington Nationals, and they took a big blow yesterday. I guess the only thing you could say positively for Syndergaard or the Mets is that if you're going to miss a season, it feels like this one, which might be half of the normal season, maybe is the one to miss.
Yeah, if that's, you stole the words right out of my mouth. If you're going to miss one, miss this shortened campaign that we're probably looking at here. And shorten it best, by the way. I mean, we'll see how this all goes as it plays out over the next couple months. But this came out of nowhere. I mean, I hadn't seen anything on this front. Now, I'm not reading Mets spring training stories daily, obviously. I'm not, you know, grinding away in that regard.
Well, I was looking yesterday to see if he got hurt throwing, like, since they left the facility, because I had no idea. I mean, he was pitching in spring training. He made three starts, and he pitched in eight innings, and he struck out 11 batters. It wasn't like he was on the shelf or anything.
Right. I mean, go back to that, you know, remember the these guys are next, that big five picture of the Mets rotation, right? And, you know, they're all sort of standing there, and now they're all, you know, Tommy John victims, basically. I mean, the Mets aren't going to fall off because they've got Stroman and they've got, you know, Jacob DeGrom, maybe the best pitcher in baseball right now. So they're not going to be a disaster, but you're right, this hurts. I mean, this really does. His numbers have never kind of met, I don't want to say never, recently haven't matched up with how good his stuff is, and everyone's kind of waiting for that all to kind of be put together. I mean, he's got a better home run rate as a hitter than he allows as a pitcher. You know, like the stuff is otherworldly. His slider's 93 miles an hour. At some point, he's going to put it all together and be the superstar that maybe his teammate DeGrom is. But I do think it knocks them down. I had them second in the division. I still think the Braves are going to win it if and when we play some games here. But that does hurt him. There's no question about it. That turn through the rotation is going to be Triple-A Timmy, and you're just not as good.
Yeah, I think as of now, I would probably put Atlanta one and move the Mets down a peg. For three seasons, you mentioned he's going to put it together. I think he kind of did. You know, he had a 2.6 ERA with 11 strikeouts per nine in 2016. He had a sub-3 in 2017. That was the year where he was hurt a lot, though. And then in 2018, in a full season, his ERA was barely over three, kind of a Steven Strasburg career earned run average with 9 Ks per nine. But, yeah, there's going to be now basically 2 years of building him back up before he's right. And I say the timing is good for him and the Mets, and that's probably not fair. The timing is very good for the Mets in that you lose Syndergaard for less than you normally would with fewer games to be played. The timing for him is a disaster because he's a free agent after 2021. So basically he's going to be coming back for the second half of that season and restricted and then go right into free agency coming off of a serious injury where he hadn't been himself for two seasons. So for him, I mean, it's a nightmare. I feel for the guy, and that stinks. That's kind of the latest of what's going on in the NL East. A little bit later in the show, I do want to get into, though, all of the ideas that are being circulated now. Baseball might use this season, however long it ends up being, assuming there is one, as kind of a graduated cylinder to mix potions in or something, some kind of beaker, where they're going to experiment potentially with a lot of the things over the years they knew that they couldn't get away with changing or didn't want to change. You know, we've talked about shortening the season. It's obviously going to be shorter. But they might have some type of tournament to get into the playoffs, or there could be very different scheduling quirks. I've jotted a bunch of things down I've seen in the last couple days to bounce off you, Danny, as we continue today. But just know if you're a baseball fan, it does not look like they're just going to show back up and have a normal process from whenever day one is until the playoffs. I think there's going to be a lot of things that change, more doubleheaders, possibly seven-inning doubleheaders. You're going to get fewer days off, obviously, but a possibility of playing a lot of neutral site games, particularly late in the year when it gets colder if they have to push things into October.
Yeah, get
so
creative,
it's going to be strange.
I think you have to make it strange. It's got to be weird. I think If this is going to happen at all, again, I keep coming back to this. I know you disagree, but the real world says one thing, and then they're like, well, we'll figure out a way to play these games here on the other side. If you're going to do this, it's got to be something we've never seen before. It's got to be bizarre. It's got to be, you know, that we're going to play at the Field of Dreams field in Iowa one time with, you know, with no spectators in the bleachers. We're going to do, you know, this minor league ballpark or that. I really believe they've got to be super creative if they want to get these games in.
The NFL is at odds with their general managers on whether or not the draft is still going to be held a month from now. We'll ask Albert Breer about that next on Grant and Danny right here on 106.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.